Excited for our guest preacher today, Megan Florian. Megan is a member of Chapel Hill Mennonite Fellowship, where she preaches regularly. And in her other time outside of her church life, Megan has taught at Peace College and has an MFA in writing. She's a published author. And I'm very excited to say that she just was just announced that she'll be the managing editor of Menno Media in just a couple weeks. So some great news and changes for Megan. But perhaps on a personal note, Megan was my down-the-street neighbor for many years. We were her cat sitters on several occasions. But perhaps most important to me is that Megan is one of the spiritual mothers of my children. She taught Sunday school to several of my children throughout our time at Chapel Hill Mennonite. And so she has helped form their faith, and I'm grateful that she is here to help form ours. So welcome, Megan. We're so glad you're here.
It's good to be with you. Please pray with me. God of peace and God of justice, teach us to find joy and delight in the work that you put before us in sowing peace and justice in this world. Amen. When Melissa told me that you all would be focusing on the theme of hope during this series, our text today from Isaiah is one of the first that came to my mind. Yet despite the fact that I picked it, I have to say that when I began to prepare for today, I wondered briefly what I had been thinking. The apocalyptic scene is hopeful, depicting a renewed cosmos, Jerusalem flourishing, familial curses reversed, a return to the original creation of Genesis. It is a text I have returned to many times throughout my life, especially in recent years as I have struggled to find the hope necessary to continue doing what I can to contribute to God's work in the world, to live toward this promised future. At times, though, a text like this can be hard to read. This promised future feels so out of reach, difficult to even imagine, much less make a reality, which is precisely why I return to it over and over and over again. Reading these words when I am most doubtful, when I need to be reminded that it is not I or we who will make heaven and earth new, but God, that hope for a renewed earth is hope in God. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth, God promises. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. The message that speaks most clearly to me from the text today is that of joy and delight. God delights in God's people, and their cries will not go unheard or unanswered. I rarely think of God this way, to be honest, as joyful, and more so as delighted by humans, by all creation. I think it can be much more easy to be aware of the many ways humans act that surely do not delight God. There is so much work to do, so much to change, that the joy can get lost. But what is it all for if not this joyful future that God promises? And what seeds of joy might we already be sowing around us now? The text goes on to foretell for God's people. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Not only does God delight in God's people, but God promises a future in which our efforts at participating in that work of creation, building houses, planting vineyards, cultivating space and land for shelter and nutrition, taking care of the earth, shall be a source of joy for ourselves and our communities as well. In recent years, I've struggled to hold on to joy, and I know that I'm not alone in that. It's one thing to cling to hope in hard times, but joy feels a step further still, and often several steps out of reach. The work of creation, of cultivation, as described in Isaiah 65, leads me to imagine how the work of our hands can become a source of delight and even peace in hard times. About a year ago, I began gardening for the first time. My garden is barely a garden, to be honest, but I insist on calling it that, even though it started as nothing but a 2 by 3 foot patch of poor and weedy soil. At the time, I was in the midst of a difficult season dealing with depression, and in my experience with depression, the trouble with a message like the one from Isaiah of long life and a future is that it doesn't just feel out of reach. It doesn't even really feel desirable. Why would I want to live 100 years or more when simply finding a reason to get out of bed each day is such a challenge, when the only point to the day seems to be to get through it so you can sleep and do it again tomorrow? How does one long for God's promised future when even the sense of longing itself is dulled? That's the place I was coming from when I started to watch a show on Netflix called Big Dreams, Small Spaces. On each episode of this show, British gardening star, which the Brits have gardening stars, can be a celebrity gardener, British gardening star Monty Don travels around the country meeting with regular folks who have various small spaces they dream of transforming into beautiful gardens to enjoy. And regardless of how tiny or rocky or overgrown their space may be to begin with, or how many problems Monty may need to point out in their proposed plans, he is always enthusiastic for them, encouraging their big dreams. He is clearly delighted by his job, by the people, by what they make together, by plants and dogs and children and water fixtures and more plants, always more plants. And he doesn't just watch and critique either. He rolls up his sleeves and they work together. Without fail, during the big reveal of their gardens, Monty is as excited for the gardeners as they themselves are, for the work they've done and the joy they'll experience working on and sitting in their gardens for years to come. A garden, Monty taught me, is an ongoing project that only gets better with passing time and seasons. And what is more, a garden can grow almost anywhere if you're creative enough, if you continue to care for it, an evolving source of delight. And so, even though I rent, even though as a renter I should not theoretically be putting time and effort and money into cultivating the overgrown pocket of yard in front of my duplex, I started digging and planting. I even planted perennials in defiance of my own supposed transience as a renter. Some of what I planted grew and flourished. Much of it did not. And while each failure and each success I learned, what is more, I simply found joy in the feeling of my hands in the dirt, of taking care of another living thing, of helping something grow. I took care of my little 2 by 3 foot spot, and it took care of me. To be sure, gardening did not fix my life, and it certainly didn't heal my depression immediately. Mental health is never so simple as that by a long shot. But it let some light in when I needed it badly and helped me to begin to cultivate hope in my own life again, as much as for my community and the world around me. Isaiah speaks of no longer planting for others to harvest. And when I take the long view of the work we do in this world, the hope we cling to for the future as Christians, these days I think about the joy of the planting itself. We live in the hope of what is to come, but where can we find joy here and now? Our hands building and digging, down in the dirt, down in the depths sometimes. What can we build? What can we plant, literal or figurative, here in the valleys of life, uprooting injustice and sowing peace? What might grow if we remain faithful to God's call? They shall not labor in vain, Isaiah promises, or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Isaiah 65 promises that the wolf and lamb will eat together, and I believe that. I also believe that if that is true, then there must be some bits of peace in the here and now, some comfort for hearts that keep on breaking, for bodies and minds that need healing, that in our building and planting and working, we can be a source of comfort and joy for one another, to find peace in God when we hit the bottom, as well as when we claw our way back up.